Okay, this song's not really for ukulele, so we'll see how it goes.
I got a surprise especially for you. Something I know you've been wanting to do. We're gonna make you laugh till you pee your pants. Then you can sit around and listen to Jack's rants. You waited so long, you waited so long, you waited so long, waited so long. I got two tickets to Ramblecast. Won't you spend an hour with us tonight? I got two tickets to Ramblecast. I've got two tickets to
Nice.
That's your best one yet.
That's really good.
It's good. I like it.
Pour some out.
I'm glad you didn't listen to me in. I'm glad you didn't listen to me and rush it last week when I was trying to put pressure on you.
Exactly, because it would have been just kind of the.
No, it was excellent.
I'm glad you didn't do your country song for this Lost rewatch.
Oh.
Found that? Yeah.
Yeah, what is that?
It was a fun podcast, and you can never play a sad song on a banjo.
So easy. Yeah. No, really great job.
Yeah, it was tough to record that podcast with Joe.
Yeah.
And I was like this the whole time going, oh, wait, Joe's here.
Bad for you, Jack, because, you know, you get to have this podcasting fame of doing a Lost, you know, rewatch and having a guest as attractive as she, and you have to follow up with that to recording with us.
I know it is rough, but
you look at our ugly ass mugs.
You know, yeah, it is rough, but what are you going
to
do?
You are right though. Like I remember because you were there, Chris. Like I did not expect her to be at that Jack party in San Diego. You know,
that was the.
Media junkyard. That's right. It was a junkyard party, and I
think that was my party.
It was your party. Yes, that's right. Thank you for the correction.
I walked in
and just looked over. And I was like, "Who is that? She is gorgeous." You know, and they're like,
"Oh shit, that's Nadia."
Yeah, I didn't realize that until because I walked up, started talking to her like I do. You know, I just started talking to her, and then Joe's like, "Do you know who this is?" And I was like, "No." Like, why are you stepping on my game, Joe? And then he's like, this is the Andrea, she plays Nadia. I was like, oh,
I knew you from somewhere. Yeah. Polaroids.
Well, like I said, I even said on the podcast, she has such a different personality than Nadia. She's very outgoing, she's very funny, she's very, because I guess she said I met her there, but I remember meeting her at the Lost finale party, the whole thing. And she came walking up to me, and I was talking. We were at where the bar was, and I said, "Who is this?" I go, "Oh," because she was. You expect to be, oh, hello. I'm being tortured. You know, you just figured the character.
Jack, you got to work on your Iraqi.
Yeah,
I got to work on it.
Well,
you know,
to peel back the curtain a little bit, though, Jack, if you don't know, is doing a Lost rewatch on Crazy Hank TV. Not affiliated with Jay and Jack Productions. It's your solo, right?
Yes.
So, but, you know, as you do, you message the Ramblecast group privately, and you just want some feedback. And we don't hold back.
No, and you know what's funny is I don't want you to.
It just was funny because we were all chiming in.
Well, I wouldn't ask for that. Like, there's one guy that gives feedback every week. It's like no matter what happens, it's like something he doesn't like it, which is fine. You know, it's just like the reason I started the thing is because you said you need an intro. I said okay, so I was like I'm just goofing around with it, and I said okay. But I am going to shorten it. It's going to be shorter next time. I mean, I did one for Cindy and I did a review on Downton Abbey, and it was only 20 seconds long. And it was the music from Downton Abbey. I was a little worried they might flag it, but I made it 20 seconds.
Nice.
So, But anyway, you know, it's just, but it's been this whole Lost thing's been fun. Chris joined us last week with Ralph, and
it was fun. I had a blast. Yeah, I felt terrible though. I had to split halfway through because my kid had a Taco Bell style blowout in the middle of the night, so I had to go.
Well, we went on for another hour.
Did you really?
Yeah, it went on for another hour, but you know, it's been good. Joe's been great. Andrea was great. Everyone has been part of it. Karen, Anil was on it last night. I mean, everyone, Kim, I'm trying to remember all the names, Rich, Ryan and Jen.
Yeah,
Ralph.
I love that you're bringing in everybody. It's just like
that's what I'm trying.
It's a caravan of podcasts.
So if I could maybe plug it personally for a quick sec, I know we give you a lot of shit because of your terrible musical choice, but I will say though, you know, what was crazy was like in the preparation for the show. So we had two episodes. All the Best Cowboys Have Daddy Issues, and what was the second one?
Whatever the case may be.
Whatever the case may be, yeah. So, yin and yang there for a second, right? Because that, in my opinion, we had two very polarizing episodes. One was great and one was definitely not. But I was watching in preparation to record with you guys, and I got really fucking excited. Like, I was amped. And I remember there's a couple different instances where I kind of called out some of my observations on that episode. But one of my favorite observations was how at the very end of all the Best Cowboys Have Daddy Issues, when Locke throws the gun to Butterfinger.
Oh, flashlight.
Flashlight, rather, to Butterfinger.
Locke is all about the knives.
Right. And you hear the clang. And it has been probably 10-ish maybe or more years since I've seen that episode or since I've actually gotten fully engaged into watching the show Lost. And that moment when that clang hit, it brought me back instantly to being like, what the fuck is that? You know what I mean? Like when we used to watch it back in the day. And I realized, and at that instant, I knew, but I completely forgot going into watching that episode to prepare that was going to be the reveal of them finding the hatch. And it got me super, super amped. And I was super excited to watch the next episode. And then, fuck. Whatever the case may be, was the next episode. So it was like, meh. But it brought me back to like a time in which I haven't felt that way about a TV show since Lost, really.
Yeah. I can't remember how long it's been since. I've been saying 4 years, but it might be longer. But I remember the scenes. But I think we even talked about it with Ralph. That you don't remember. Oh, that's in this episode,
right?
Don't remember the. You remember this. That's right. The hat. But was it that soon that we find out about the hatch and all this different stuff going on? It's just. And the hard thing for me is I keep saying this. I just watch two, mm-hmm. and I'm like going, okay, all right, okay, because I don't want to get confused with what you know happened. Because I did that once where I watched four of them, and I'm like going, wait, what was that in? And I'm trying to remember the. Because I was trying to get ahead of watching them, and that was just a mistake. So I have to watch them two at a time, like everybody else. But it's been a lot of fun, and a little spoiler for the episode Chris was on. There's, and I won't tell you what gets dropped. There's a scene with Jorge Garcia where Ralph says, "I wonder if they were going to go somewhere with that scene, a different storyline." And we were wondering, and I said, "Well, ask next time you podcast with Jorge, because Ralph does the Godzilla podcast with Jorge. I'm drawing a blank on the name right now. Sorry, Ralph. But Kaiju podcast. Kaiju podcast. That he goes, okay. And then he goes, wait a minute, I'll just text him.
Yeah.
So he sends him a text. And like a minute later, he gives us the answer. So you'll find out on that episode.
Oh, nice tease. Yeah. Very, very cool.
There you go.
So
It's been a lot of fun.
All right, not that we can't talk about this podcast because it's not affiliated with the Ramblecast After Dark in any way, shape, or form. But I will say, though, anybody listening right now who really enjoyed Lost and wants to have something to watch and to listen to, check out Crazy Hank TV because the Lost Rewatch is a ton of fun. And if you are listening to this and you haven't watched Lost, first of all, wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And if that's the case, then you should go back and listen to the original episodes and Crazy Hank for that matter. So
yeah, Crazy Hank is on YouTube. It's a YouTube channel. Now people have been asking, are you going to put it on podcast form? I probably will. But the whole goal is to build up the YouTube page first, then you know,
okay,
the other stuff. But well, it will happen, but it's not going to happen probably till next month sometime.
Okay. And I think Nick and I will appear again.
Actually, I want to have all the Ramblecast guys on.
Okay.
The whole crew on for a whole thing. But it's it was just one of those, you know, things where. But we'll have the whole Ramblecast crew on probably next month sometime, right?
Yeah, sounds good. Whenever we do. Yeah.
I'll try and find shows that are good back to.
Oh. Well, no, I gotta tell you, it wasn't bad because it brings like reality in check, right? So we know that no show is perfect, and Lost was not a perfect show, and we got to kind of compare and contrast, you know, the good and the bad, which I thought was fun,
and the ugly. So, but it, like I said, it's been some work, but it's been fun though. I'm enjoying it, and that's all I gotta say about that.
Cool.
Dennis wanted to know, Jack, if you had watched the Downton Abbey movie this weekend.
Well, if Dennis would subscribe to YouTube and Crazy Hank TV, he'd know that I did see it.
You did see it. Okay.
I did see it.
I thought I saw you post something about it. Actually, you and Cindy watched it, right?
We did. We went and saw it. There was probably like five guys there, maybe. Not the hamburger guys. But there's probably five or six guys there, and I don't care. I mean, I like the show. I'm the one that turned Cindy on to the show. And we get there, and it's the Alamo Glass House. If you guys have been there, Draft House. If you guys have been there, it's an amazing theater to go to. They come to your seat. They bring you food. They bring you all the – and they had special food for Downton Abbey. Of course, they were out of the stuff that we wanted, but at 2:45 in the afternoon. But the row behind us, there's probably 15 seats behind us. We were at the second to top. It was all ladies, and they were so loud. So loud. I mean, it was like, oh my, this is before the movie started. Because I would have held my little note up saying, all right, these ladies need to be removed. Because they were showing like, they had like videos showing, you know, what had happened in the past, the six seasons of, and why, you know, the whole different thing. But you couldn't hear it. And my wife, Cindy, said something to me. I go, what? What? Because I couldn't hear. But you can check out our review on Crazy Hank TV, or I can just give it to you now. If you're a fan of the show Downton Abbey, you're going to love this show. It was excellent. Because usually those...
So you thought it was a... It did the series a justice by a little bit of a continuation?
Yeah, it was... It made you mess the story. It made you mess the characters, you know, because the show's been off for what, about 2 years. It goes, I miss these people. These people were part of my life, you know, and the whole different and the way it was done, you know, it wasn't done cheesy. It wasn't. I mean, there was the plots where I figured them out ahead of time. My wife's like, I didn't see that at all. I go, well, because you're just it's Downton Abbey. It's Bates. He's so sexy, which I don't get. But anyway, I that's why I've been trying to put on weight so I can look like Bates.
Sure. Start wearing this outfit.
And I am walking with a limp now, so I've got that. And yeah. I have a cane, but I don't like to use the cane in public. So
I hear a nice Christmas outfit or a Christmas
Halloween outfit. But no, anyway, so it's just
a foot.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was really, really good. If you're a fan of the show, I haven't seen anybody that is that didn't that said, "Oh my God, this was just a waste of time." And actually, we're going to go see it again this Saturday.
Oh,
because she said, "It's your turn to pick a movie." I picked the last three or four. I go, "Well, there's nothing I really want to see but that Brad Pitt movie." But then I went on Rotten Tomatoes. I go, "Ooh," and then I saw Rambo. I go, "Ooh." You know what? If you want to go see Downton Abbey, maybe they'll have the stuff that you wanted this time, and we'll just watch it again. I don't care. But yeah.
Yeah,
thumbs up for Downton Abbey, the movie. There you go, Dennis.
Great. Yeah, because I was going to give my review of Ad Astra, which is the Brad Pitt movie.
Oh.
Do you guys want a spoiler-free or spoiler?
Spoiler-free, please.
I'm not going to see it because after everything I read.
Spoiler-free. Okay. Starts out solid. Like, I went into this movie zero expectations, not knowing anything about it other than it was a space movie. So I generally usually love space movies.
Can I ask a question? Did it start out solid like his marriage to Angelina Jolie?
Yes, it actually. Okay. That's a good comparison to the movie. Right. It starts out like hot and heavy, and then just descends into shit.
Okay. And if Brad, if you're listening, that's just a joke, buddy. Just a joke. I'm a huge fan.
No, it's I give it a C plus.
Wow, that's.
Yeah, that's kind for me. Visually, it is awesome. It is like breaking into Stanley Kubrick's Apollo 11 moon theater and shooting it there. It's so good. That's a joke. So like, it starts off really good. He's in like this weird orbital tower, and they got a lot of action off of that. You're like, okay, this is going to be an action space movie, you know? And you're like, this is going to be good, you know? And then he gets the mission, and then he you know, and they go to the moon, and like the moon stuff is beautiful. I mean, a lot of the visual effects are really good, but it felt like a movie Cliff would write. It's all middle. It's all middle, and that's where it fails. And
well,
just,
to be fair, Cliff's an editor, not a writer.
Yeah,
he's not, like, you know, there's only so many writers.
Well, like it starts off like just like in the middle of the story, and like you get a little bit of flashbacks about his relationship with his wife or his girlfriend, but it doesn't really, nothing really happens. So you're like, oh, I guess they'll get to that later. And then by the time you get to the end, it's very just still feels like middle, like there's missing stuff that should have been there, and it just dragged. So it's just all middle, and you're just like, and then it's in, and you're like, really? Really?
It's a long movie too, right?
Yeah, and you just like, but like I said, like if you just want to watch a good visual space movie, because like when you see the space, when you see like the inside the spaceships, and you see Mars and the Moon and Neptune, you're like, man, this is really pretty. But it's just the plot is not there. It's just not. And talk about a waste of some good actors, man. Like you had Donald Sutherland and wow, I keep forgetting his name, the dad,
Brad Pitt.
No, not Brad Pitt. His dad is someone's yelling at it right now under the speaker.
Kiefer Sutherland?
No, that would be funny.
Benjamin Button style here. Yeah, I mean Donald Sutherland's getting up there too.
Yeah, he is. But like Donald Sutherland's in it, and the guy who played Two-Face in the Batman movie.
The
one in the '90s, not the newer one.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Yes. Tommy Lee. Oh. And like both you have two really solid actors in this movie, and they're in it very little. And you're just like, dude, talk about a waste of a good actor. Like, utilize that shit.
Ironically, both Tommy Lee Jones and Donald Sutherland were in Space Cowboys with
terrible movie.
It's Clint Eastwood. It's an excellent movie.
It's just a good sit down waste of a couple hours movie. I mean,
old
guys in space. A lot of
grumpy old men in orbit.
You wouldn't believe how many people though, when you watch the previews for that and you see both of them in the previews, you're like, is this like a sequel to Space Cowboys? Is are they going to go rescue Hank or whatever his name was in the movie? You know, like,
well, who was it? It was Clint Eastwood, Tommy Lee Jones, and who was the other actor? Donald Sutherland and
Maverick.
Jack Nicholson.
No, the original Maverick.
The original Maverick.
James Garner. That's right.
James Garner, yeah.
You have those four actors and you're saying it's a terrible movie? Come on.
It's not a good movie at all.
Yeah, it's like a solid C. Yeah.
It's a C. It's a B-plus movie. It's got Clint Eastwood.
It's a C. I gave it a C-plus, and the plus is solely because of the cast.
There you go.
Like I said, I haven't known it. I haven't seen any review online from like just a regular person, not a critic, that said like, "Oh, you got to go see it." It's something like, I think just wait for it to come on HBO, watch it.
Well, Rotten Tomatoes, I remember the score had it 83% for the critics,
yeah.
And like 25% for the audience. Because I first saw, I go, "Wow, that's not bad." The critics, they have 83%, so it's like a 89, 90 for the. I go 25. I go, oh my God.
Yeah. It was 43 when I saw it. Yeah. But I gave it a 3 stars out of 5, I think, or 2.5 out of 5 on the fan vote for that on Rotten Tomatoes. It's just, it's not really worth the time.
Okay.
So I like space movies. But it's like that Sandra Bullock one she did with,
I tell you, like that one, Gravity. I saw Gravity in the IMAX 3D, and I loved it in that format because, like, little things like her tears when she's crying, all this stuff like floating at you was badass. But then when you watch it on a regular TV, you're like, this movie sucks. Like,
I saw it in a regular theater, and I was like, The plot was kind of boring. I mean, it's just like, whatever. Yeah.
And the science wasn't really sound either.
No. So. She already won her Academy Award for The Blind Side.
Yeah. Which nobody watches that movie anymore either. What's the only good, like, what name a Sandra Bullock movie that you watch? The only one I will watch is Miss Congeniality. That's it.
Speed.
Speed, yeah.
Speed the 1. Net.
The net. No one watches The Net. That movie's hilarious. It's a comedy now. How funny that movie is. So
I've seen The Net.
Yeah.
She's been in a lot of
they really overstated the power of a floppy disk in that movie.
Yes, they did. The Blind Side.
What other movies she been in? So she's been in
lots of stuff.
Bird Box.
Bird Box was
I never saw Bird Box, yeah.
This Blindside won tons of awards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't know how she. I didn't think. I was like, it was a good movie, but I didn't think she was Academy Award worthy.
Yeah.
2 weeks' Notice.
That's a good one. I like 2 weeks'
Notice. Forces of Nature.
Didn't like that.
Wasn't she in Steel Magnolias?
No.
No, I'm thinking of Julia Roberts.
That's Julia Roberts.
Yeah. Okay. So.
You're not supposed to admit you saw that.
What?
Every Southerner seems to admire her.
I watched it with my wife.
Yeah.
So she wasn't there, but.
Says the man that went to go see.
Downton Abbey?
Yeah. Right. And wants to go twice.
if you have an option, you could watch a lot of other movies. But
yeah. No, all the rest of the movies look like they suck. I mean, it's like.
Yeah.
Take your wife to go see It too, and freak her shit out.
I haven't seen It 1 yet.
Yeah, just jump in full feet, man.
Okay, you don't need to see it to understand the plot.
Chris, did you see any movies over the weekend at all? Not in theaters, just any movies in general.
No.
He set a goal. He is not going to watch another brand new movie until he watches Das Boot. And he walks away. There it is.
I'm just going to put it right here on my desk. So it's just a daily reminder of, hey, get off your ass and get back.
I have to watch Watchmen.
Yeah.
Is that series out now or the movie?
I have to watch it because it's like mandatory or something like that.
Has it been released?
No, the movie from 2000.
Oh, okay. No, yeah. The movie sucks.
Yeah.
Don't tell him that. Don't tell
him. Read the graphic novel, honestly.
Well,
no, I was told. The movie,
yes. Ugh. Gross. I did watch something over the weekend, though. I watched I watched a documentary called "Hey Privilege, It's Me, Chelsea."
No,
I don't know if you've heard of that.
No, I haven't heard that.
Chelsea Handler
made a documentary about white privilege,
okay.
And it was fucking awesome and sad and enlightening, unfortunately, in many different ways. But I definitely recommend it. It was very eye-opening. I learned a lot about Chelsea that I didn't know, but it also opened my eyes to looking at things a little bit differently when it comes to white privilege. Now, that is a political discussion that we don't typically get involved in here on the show, but I think everybody has some feelings either left, right, or center when it comes to that. And it's actually a very enlightening documentary. And it's a documentary that's shot in a style that if you are a fan of the candor that we have on this show and the language that we use in the show, you'll probably enjoy watching her kind of go through this little bit of a journey in reflecting on her own the white privilege she's had over the years.
I know I've said this before, but I never understood white privilege until I did 23andMe.
Yeah,
I just never understood.
I was like, wait, what?
And what's in all seriousness, what's really interesting is that like it came up as a suggestion after I had just finished the second season of Mindhunter. And anybody who's seen the second season of Mindhunter, you know, white privilege and white, like that whole idea and that concept is definitely kind of dangled through the plot lines of this, of the second season. Yeah, I definitely highly recommend it. I think it's a good watch. I think it should be I'm not going to go as far as saying it's a requirement for people to see it, but it'll definitely help you kind of look at things differently and understand society a little bit differently than you did before.
I wanted to see the one about Phil Hartman.
Oh,
there's one about Phil Hartman, his last days, or because you know his wife shot him and killed him.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
So. I saw people talking about it. Then I saw it was, I think it's on, I want to say Hulu or Netflix. I was going to watch it and I just never had time to watch it.
Well, the flip side of what Chris was talking about, I watched I've been watching a documentary series on the other side of white privilege called Country Music by Ken Burns. Nick's shaking his head. No. Have any of you watched this at all? It just
no, I didn't heard of it. Like, yeah. But
you haven't what? You haven't heard of it?
I heard of country music. I never heard of the series by Ken Burns.
Yeah,
this is me listening to redneck music.
It's on PBS right now. It's the other station that Downton Abbey is on. but it is so good. I mean, Ken Burns. You know, he's very in depth in what he does.
As he cried.
So is he getting making it? Is he getting into the history of it? Like, I mean,
it starts at the very beginnings of country music and the very early roots of country music, and it takes you to I think the most recent episode that aired tonight was it episode 6 or 7? I don't know.
And it's just called country music.
I think it's just called country music. Yeah.
Okay.
And Nick, I mean, of all people on here, not to dismay Crazy Hank over there with his country music.
He does like his banjo music.
He does, but it's interesting.
I do like banjo music.
They even talk about, you know, where the banjo comes from, where the fiddle comes from.
It's from all a porch from some kid in the South, isn't it?
No.
The banjo is Spanish, I think.
Africa.
Yeah.
And so it... But it starts with just the very early roots of it and all the way right now. I think the episode that I just watched dealt with the Vietnam War and its effect on country music and, mm-hmm. and kind of the 60s.
A lot of sad songs.
Well, it's a really interesting time because if you look at country in the 50s and 60s, you know, compared to the 70s, it changes to a more – they really want to get into – storytelling in a way, in the structure of how they construct the song is completely different, because there's a one I always think of with George Jones that's called I Stopped Loving Her Today, which came out in the late 70s, which is that song could never ever be written today, because you know it starts off with, you know, I promised her I'd love her till I die, then you'll forget me in time, and like it goes on, it's this long story, mm-hmm. and you figure it out towards the end, shit, he's dead. Like, yeah, because that's what it's like, she died, and that's what he's telling her, is that like she died, he's like, I'll never forget you, and she's like, you'll forget me in time, because like he has all of his life to live, but so he stopped loving her the day he died, you know. And so it's just like, it's just one of those songs that's a slow reveal, which is one of the brilliant things about country music, is that the two rules of country was it tells a story and it either makes you laugh or makes you cry, and it's kind of gotten away from that from the last 20 years or so, but it's one of the things that makes country brilliant.
Yeah, let me know when they get to Taylor Swift.
That's what I'm saying. Is
I don't know if they'll go all the way up to contemporary country music at all. So, but one of the great things that they talk about in some of the very first couple episodes is of course the Carter family, mm-hmm. and you know, they're talking about Maybelle Carter and I can't remember the musician. Maybe it was Marty Stewart, but he said the thing that Taylor Swift and whoever the hottest female musician is, whether it be rock and roll, needs to realize that they owe everything to Maybelle Carter. And this is really neat, like how it really begins with a woman and a guitar mm-hmm. being recorded. And I mean, they made like $600 off of four songs and went back to the to their farm, and they were like, okay, we're done.
This is like, yeah, like I forget just, her name. But like one of the
limelight
best.
Was too much.
No, I mean, it wasn't even about the limelight. They had to like, AP Carter basically had to like convince them to go because they were just like, and he was the one that was like, I think we could, you know, you're always singing, you know, I think we can earn a couple bucks and record a couple songs. But there was something in the paper or whatever. And he even had to convince his brother-in-law to let his wife go to the recording session. And he promised him that he would like weed his cornfield or something like that. So it, just all of the different stories that come up, and you know each, and I watched the Ken Burns Vietnam documentary, and oh my gosh, like really heart wrenching, depressing as hell. And
that's a tough one to watch because we talked about before. Not only is it sad, but it's you want to punch somebody in the face.
Right, but. Country music obviously like pulls at those heartstrings and makes you sad, but it also gives you a little bit of that hope and warmth. And so it was really nice to you know watch this after Ken Burns's Vietnam documentary. So if you haven't checked it out already, by all means, you should be, you know, even if you just jump in and you're like, oh, it's on, I'll just watch this one and see what happens, because you can always go back through and it's time. It doesn't have to be linear. So you're not going to get spoiled on history. So,
yeah, true.
So, you know, it's really good. But my mind has been on country music and listening to a lot of early country, and I'm not a huge country music guy. I mean, it's not in my wheelhouse. I know a lot of these songs though. It's amazing how many songs I just know. And I've definitely had some of the music in my back history.
Well, it's interesting because country music is, you know, rock always gets all the glory, but it's really more complex than rock and roll or pop. And it blends so much, so many cultures and so many instruments and so many things together. And it's evolved constantly over time. And that's what's sad to me about it right now is that it's not. It's just kind of become pop, and it's no longer utilizing different kinds of instruments. And if it is, they're just like a side edition. It's not, and so it's like, oh, this is shit. I don't know.
I used to watch Hee Haw. Does that count?
They sure. They do talk about Hee Haw. Hee Haw. Really? Yeah. No, they talk about Hee Haw for sure.
Roy Clark and
yes, they mm-hmm. do. Mm-hmm. Yep. He was on the most recent one that I watched.
Roy Clark and what's that? It was Roy Clark and. Yeah.
But they have.
I watched Hee Haw with my granddad when I was a kid.
Yeah, they have interviews with all of these musicians throughout. So really? you might be watching an episode that deals with the early roots of country music, but they'll have Dolly Parton on there talking about something. They'll have
Roy Clark and
Merle Haggard's on there, and they have just
wasn't Merle Haggard.
No. Well, anyway, it's pretty interesting though, because if you do watch it from the beginning, you do get like these subtle echoes. Like, you know, you'll be watching an episode and you're like, oh, they're referencing this one song from way back when, you know, like this is amazing. Like this,
yeah,
you know, so it's cool how it echoes.
Well, it's like there's a song that came out in 2012 that I love by a Swedish sister group called First Aid Kit, and it's called Emmy Lou. And it's a brilliant song. I mean, if y'all have never heard it, just go ahead and download it. It's pure gold. And that's the chorus of it is, I'll be your Emmy Lou and I'll be your June if you'll be my Graham and my Johnny too. Hmm. And it's just, God, like you have to understand the history of that to get that reference. And it's like, wow, like that's just a brilliant hook, you know, of like the way they do it. And it's just two sisters and harmonizing. It's a beautiful song.
Buck Owens. Finally came to me. Buck Owens and Roy Clark.
Well, they even have Grandpa Joe on there, which they mentioned Grandpa Joe like in, I don't know, like the second episode or something like that. But so there's a lot of you know, just echoing of time, and he definitely weaves a nice tapestry.
How long did it take him to do one of those documentaries? Does anyone know?
Yeah, I don't know.
A lot of research and a lot of.
Well, it's not just Ken Burns. You know, I'm sure he's got.
Well, I know that, but it's still, it's he's got a staff.
It's just one guy. Like, oh, I gotta get this done, man. PBS is on my ass.
The recruitment is down. Oh my god. Donations are down. But no, I wonder how long it takes. I mean, I know it's not just him, but I wonder how long it takes from the whole crew from start to finish.
At least a couple of years. You know, maybe, maybe not.
Well, I just don't have the patience.
I mean, you think, you have to think about it. You have to write, like, you have to do the research, which that usually takes the majority of the time.
Well, and find the photographs and footage. Yeah. There's some really great Dylan and Cash footage on there too. So
That's what was really neat about it, you know, like because as same as you, Matt, like we both love Dylan, and that's what's really neat about Dylan is that, you know, in '66 when he had his motorcycle crash, he didn't want to have anything to do anymore with that life, and so he purposely made two, and you could even say four records to try to push his audience away from him, but it had the opposite effect, you know, because John Wesley Harding is a very stripped down, kind of boring record, but it's back because a lot of people interpret it as, oh, it's back to roots. So then you have like the Beach Boys make Wild Honey, which is also very back to roots. You have the band, you have Beatles, like it all goes back to this, like, oh, let's just make our simple instruments, no, you know, outlandish arrangements. And then you have him go to Nashville, do Nashville Skyline 69. And that's really the first time a mainstream rock pop person had actually went to Nashville. I mean, a lot of people did that afterwards, you know, like the Birds. And
they talk about the Birds as well.
Yeah.
And then it's interesting also, I mean, you figure out like the where the Grand Ole Opry comes from. So it's really good. Yeah. So I don't mean to gush about it. It's been on my, it's basically, I have two brains right now. One's steeped in country music, and then the other side is Studio Ghibli animation. So I've been watching those movies again and again. So
Jin,
yeah. And then Jin's right down the middle. That's what keeps me balanced. So
I got them both.
Yeah, country music animation. It's going to be a big thing, guys. We're going to animate Hee Haw. And put a little Japanese girl singing it. It's gonna be awesome.
Hee-haw! Where were you last night? Anyway, if I start singing that, I'll be singing that all night long.
One of the musicians on there said something like, she's talking about her grandma, and she's, you know, she's African American. She's like, oh, she had her closet with all of her jazz and blues records, but. Boy, Saturday night, you did not get in front of the TV or grandma was going to yell at you. And it's like that to me, like when she said that, it was like it took me back because as you know, like there was no DVR. You didn't get to watch it again. So if you were a kid in the 80s and you were in front of the TV, you got yelled at a lot.
Unless you were changing the channel.
Well, right. Yeah, there was that. You could change the channel. But other than that, you better get out of the way.
That was something.
Well, you had a one-shot deal. Because I was like in the 70s and stuff. You know, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and it was a one-shot deal. If you missed it, you know, like, you have to go see your grandpa. Like, oh, come on. The show's on tonight. You're like going, you can watch it when the reruns come out. That's like 6 months away.
Right.
Now, of course, they didn't really have like, you know, shows like today where it's all in order. If you mess one, you're like, well, what's going on? I don't know what's going on. It was always a different, you know, storyline each week. But still, it's like you had to wait, and then you had to hope that during the reruns that they showed it. They didn't show all the episodes. Yeah. Somebody like,
what's a rerun?
Exactly. I can remember watching a movie with Elizabeth McGovern, Bewitch, and I was watching the first half of it. My mom said, "Well, you have to go to bed now." I go, "Well, I guess to the end of the movie." She goes, "You'll see it when it comes out again."
My parents did that to me.
I've never seen the end of that movie. I don't even know what it's called.
My parents did that to me for like Superman 2. I watched the first hour and, okay, Matt, it's time for
bed. Time for bed.
What? You're not going to let me finish watching Superman 2? So I snuck out into the hallway because it was a certain angle. And I could see the TV down the hallway and I could watch the rest of it. You know,
how have you not? I mean, hopefully you have. How have you not thrown that back in your parents' face? I would constantly, every time something happened where they got onto me, I go, like, you know why this happened? Because you didn't let me finish Superman 2 when I was a kid, and that scarred me every time.
I used to say, because our living room was here before we got a before we turned the garage into a family room. So here, but the hall, little short hall, was a small house. A little go to the bathroom. I said, I'm just going to the bathroom. And what she? I don't hear that toilet flush.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you wasting water? No, no, no.
So when I was home the other weekend,
kids just don't know.
My parents love to go antique shopping, and I do too because I just love old shit, and I like to figure out what it is and like what.
Is that why you keep me on the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you not know that?
That's what I figured.
We're gonna take you to a road show and see how much you're worth.
Yeah, exactly.
25 cents.
Gotta get a certificate of authenticity.
Found at a garage sale for $25. Now worth $10.
You got ripped.
Look at all this look at all this Charger stuff. Wow.
Yeah, fuck Gene Spanos.
My mom came. She was, hey, I want to see if I can stump you. She was, I bought this the other day. Do you know what this is? It's this little bitty chair that did not look practical to sit in, but it was for a kid. And I go, I mean, obviously it's a small chair, Mom. I was like, and she goes, this was when I was a little girl. You put this next to the TV for the kid to sit in so they could change the channel. And I was like, oh, wow. Holy shit.
We didn't have that growing up as a kid. We just had to lay on the floor.
Yeah, no, it was like a little chair. You could, after you figured out what it was designed for that, and you could, it made total sense. I was like, I've never seen that. And so it's like, that's why I like going antique shopping, because you find shit like that.
I never knew they had those, because, well, we were poor. We couldn't afford a chair, so.
Right. Well, I mean, she's 10 years older than you, so.
Okay.
Now, I don't want to interrupt Nick with one of his great antique roadshow stories, but we're going to take, actually, a commercial break here. Just like they would do in the old days. But don't change that dial.
Let your kids sit down. I honestly didn't know they had those chairs.
Yeah, that's the first one I'd ever seen. So they must be pretty rare.
Came with handcuffs.
Because I wouldn't sit on the couch, because what was the point? I'd have to get up every 20, every 30 minutes to go change the channel. There are only three. NBC, ABC, and CBS.
That's what made Legos great when I was a kid, is that I could build something while I was on the floor there, or Hot Wheels, you know, or something.
Yeah. Anyway. Those were the days, my friends.
So I'm halfway through with Dark Crystal now. Liking it. So I started to do the
right. I saw that you shared that. That was good, yeah. The only way that you can recognize Chamberlain.
Yeah, it's just every time he speaks, he's always pondering, just, it would never hurt you. He's almost got a little bit of a Jar Jar accent in there. Just time, you know? And then you can always spot Mark Hamill, because he always does such a throaty voice of just, you know, like, I can't think of it. You know?
Oh, he's
a scientist, yeah. He's just, you know, yes, the essence, yeah, yeah. He has that kind of always that almost Joker, but not quite the Joker voice.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm just finished the sixth episode, and so I'm liking where it's going, because it's a great prequel in that they just give a little bit of hints of the actual movie, just little ones every now and then. You're like, oh, I see where this is going now, and it's a really well thought out prequel.
Each episode, this isn't spoilery, but each episode, it gets you to a point where you're like, oh, okay, I think something good might be happening. And then it's shit. Like, they just throw in this moment where you're like, holy fuck. And it is dark. Like, I mean, it doesn't hold back the punches. It's gritty. You know, it's
kind of Ralph strongly recommended it.
Yeah, I think if you... especially if you're, you know, a Generation Y, whatever, he grew up with the Dark Crystal, you know, you'll like it. But I think anyone that's a millennial or Z or whatever they are, I think they would be like, what the fuck is this? Just because, like, they're not used to the puppetry, you know, and all the weird stuff like that. But
the puppetry is amazing. Chris, have you caught any of this yet? No?
Okay. So, believe it or not, I actually have never seen the original.
Oh, okay.
I would just go ahead and start with the series. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Because honestly, I mean, to be a little bit critical of the movie, and I watched the movie after watching the, you know, there's some lulls, and the pacing of it is not great.
Right.
Like, and I honestly just think it's an editing pacing issue in that movie, where it just I feel the same way about Tron. Tron. Yeah. Like the pacing of it is just slightly off. You know, I'm sure that they could have been better if it was just edited together or like sewn together and just a little.
Yeah. I can tell you've been watching that country show because you said there's some lulls. real lulls in the
that's the
show.
Dip. That's the
he's speaking my language now. We got a lull over in the thing. Yeah.
Nick got a big smile. I was like, I know that language.
So yeah, like my only like true criticism of the movie Dark Crystal is they give away the entire premise of the movie in the first like minute of the movie. And so the mystery of like, why is this crystal important? Why, what's the goal? Like all that's just kind of taken away in the first movie. And you're like, in the first minute, you're like, oh, well, okay. I know what's going to happen now. And I think to a kid, that's fine. But to an adult watching it, you're like, oh,
but was it for kids or adults?
It was for kids. Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm saying, like, you know, I mean, if you haven't ever seen it, Jack, it's just basically there's a dark crystal and there's evil people that are controlling it, but there's a shard missing from the dark crystal. And that's what they tell you in the very first of the movie. You're like, oh, so they need to put the shard back in the crystal and then we're good. And that's exactly what happens. And you're like, yeah. And you're like, okay, I just fast forward now. Oh, there it goes. Okay, cool. You know? And so you're just kind of, oh, okay.
So Nick, did you get any of the Game of Thrones vibes that I mentioned? Like how there's like these different houses or these different like,
yeah. Not
quite. They're not houses, but
yeah, they're not quite Game of Thrones-esque, but yeah, especially with the sisters, you know, and the sister wanting to become the new queen and all that, like that for sure. Yeah.
Yes. There's definitely like just some different areas or there. It's like they come from different regions. And,
right.
And you can kind of see where like, it's basically not like within the first episode, it's not like, okay, we're going off to kill the bad guys. It's right. Really sowing the seeds throughout. And I think that, I mean, honestly, like the pacing in the show is way much better than the movie. So,
speaking of TV, did anyone watch the Emmys?
No.
Nobody did.
Apparently, no one did. Yeah.
What are the Emmys?
The ratings were down like another 42% or something like that from last year when they were down. Yeah.
I think what,
it's like dying. It?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's
the problem. It's too long. It's just too long.
It's too long, and not a lot of people don't care because, like, especially now, it's kind of like with how streaming kind of killed the radio because, and so you no longer have
everyone's video.
Well, yeah, too, but streaming kind of killed the the hit, you know, the top 40 hit thing because you weren't just pushed, the radio wasn't pushing a certain song for you to listen to. So now right. With streaming, everyone can look up, oh, I only want to listen to country, I only listen to this, and that's it. When I think Netflix and Hulu and so many of these pay-to-watch streaming services now are doing the same thing to TV, where it's like, oh, well, I don't have cable anymore, so I can't watch these programs. I can only watch these. So many
hosts. I
don't think we even had a host this year.
It used to be entertaining just because the host was funny, depending on who did it. And like I said, I just thought it was on. I think I saw Twitter. I go, oh, that's on tonight. I don't have cable. I don't have TV, so I can't watch it. I don't care.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying, yeah. And I think a lot of people also for the last, two or three years or more, you know, people are tired of politics at these award shows because it's like, I hear this shit all day long. I don't need to hear it from you too. Like, I just want to be entertained and watch you get your stupid award.
So, and winner for editor and a best video from a documentary filmed in less than 15 seconds. The winner is
Cliff Armstrong.
I mean, it's an enormous privilege. It's an enormous honor to get one of those. I'm not knocking the award. It just, I think too, it's like, because like they say baseball is hurt. Well, baseball's become I had this argument with people years ago. It's became a regional sport because of the, you know, you have the same teams winning every year because they have all the money. I mean, it's just Boston, the Yankees, and you know, it's like,
let's be real. Boston fucking sucks this year.
Well, they do.
Yeah, they do.
But oh well, it's been 1 year since you did make the playoffs. Try being a Padre fan. So, you know, and they're still 14th in attendance. So not bad for a city that, you know, they say can't support a sports team. But and their minor league hockey team gets 12,000 fans a game. Not bad. Anyway, so, but no, I think it's just I think it just becomes, well, I only care about my team. Then once the World Series happens, they don't start the World Series till 8, and the games last forever. I mean, they're like 3-4 hours long. It's like,
Do you think they would benefit from having like a host?
Sometimes the announcers are a draw sometimes you get a crappy announcer. It's like Monday Night Football. Why did Monday Night Football work? Well, it was football, but you also had, when it first started out, you had Harold Cosell, you had Danny Don and Gifford, Frank Gifford doing it. So they were entertaining in themselves. That's what you watched. And now I don't even know who you some guy named Booger or something like that does the games. I think that's his name. But people, I just see him complaining on Twitter about this guy Booger and stuff like that. And it's just, people don't want to spend 4 hours of their lives watching something. You know, or if you finally get someone interesting, they play the music, get them off. It's like, well, that person was actually funny and interesting.
Maybe they should add a banjo music to it.
Well, you know, you never have a sad song with a banjo. I'm sorry, you don't. But anyway, I was wondering if anybody watched it.
No, I saw Game of Thrones 1, which was
for best drama, right?
Yeah, not surprising, but total shows you how stupid the Emmys are. They should have won.
Who to go against?
I have no idea. But like I was saying, like, you know, Game of Thrones really should have won for its third and fourth seasons, you know, but it didn't because I think Breaking Bad or whatever, Mad Men or whatever was ending. So it's like, oh, we got to give it to them because they're ending. And then it won best drama for the seasons that really weren't that good, in my opinion, for everyone out there.
It happens to musicians too, you know.
It does, yeah. Like, you look at I'm just going to say the first one popped in my head was Billy Joel, for example. Like, Billy Joel's The Stranger, 1977, was probably his best record. But yeah, made his best record, but he didn't even. Well, I don't think he's even nominated for that record. But his next one, which was 52nd Avenue or Street or whatever, has Big Shot, like Jack said, and another hit song off it. But it's nowhere near as good as The Stranger, and it won. You know, it's like, and that's just like, oh, you didn't win this year because we only heard of you, but we'll give it to you the next year.
Well, look at Paul Newman, nominated what, 7 times, finally won in the 7th time. He didn't even show up because he figured, what the heck, I'm not going to win. Exactly. So it's like, all right, well, you're not here this time?
We're going to make dressing, bitches.
Exactly. I mean, Paul Newman, probably one of the greatest actors in American history. 7 times, and he only won once.
Yeah, that happens. But, I mean, same as Scorsese. And,
but, Jack, who would you say is the best comedian?
I like how you did that. You know what, Matt? That's a good idea. I just thought, why don't we do a versus on our favorite comedians of all time?
Oh, man, it's too hard. We got to wait a week to do that, don't you think?
I know you threw this on the spot, but I think we can do it.
Okay, all right.
But who's going to go first?
We definitely have to roll for this because I almost can guarantee you. I'm sorry, I had to read what the other guy wrote.
I didn't look.
We definitely have to go because I feel like there's a couple right off the bat that many of us will probably grab.
Yeah, exactly. I know that we've mentioned at least two in the recent weeks that should be on the verses.
Right, and we're not talking about Joan Rivers.
I like Joan Rivers.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. Well,
I think she's funny.
I think she's funny too.
There goes my virgin alarm.
I had a boyfriend once. He was so stupid he could only count to 21 when he was naked. He was so stupid. He pissed on the floor. I said, "Why'd you piss on the floor?" He says, "What floor?"
I stand corrected.
I just thought about another. I have like 35 comedians off the top of my head I could choose.
Okay.
At least.
There's only one.
The Marvelous Miss Maisel.
I know who Chris is putting up.
All right. So, Chris, don't you usually have an app for this?
I'm looking at it right now. I was trying to see if I had it still.
Yeah, why don't you join the show, Chris, and
roll
the
dice.
He hasn't been able to talk. I mean, we've been talking about country.
I'm going to let you guys go and talk about shit that I have no skin in the game with. I didn't care
about country music, but I stayed alive. I stayed part of the show.
Yeah. How do you think I feel when you guys just start talking about fantasy fucking football? I'm like, oh, shit.
I don't play fantasy.
I'll just sit here for 20 minutes.
I'm
starting my team. Whoever play the Patriots, because the Patriots probably have some soft team on the schedule this week.
I was really, really happy to see that my team won and Jack's team lost. So,
oh, I was so happy about that.
All right.
Oh my God.
I do have
a really shitty
dice rolling app.
Okay, it looks really shitty. So yeah, I think that's the one to go with. So
you want to give the sites.
So we're going to go in the order of the Brady Bunch windows on my screen. So Matt will get the first roll.
Okay, sounds good.
And you are sorry, message coming through. I'm gonna hit
7.
I
didn't roll it yet. There you go.
That's yeah, 7 now. Right.
7 again.
He called it.
So we're all gonna get 7.
You keep rolling.
Who's now?
Who's this? Chris.
Jack.
I'm at the bottom.
There you go. I got 7.
Hold on.
That's a different 7.
I'll take 11. I don't want that one. I don't want Jack to have that one.
I'll take 11.
11.
Ooh.
7s and 11s. All right. So the next roll. This is going to be a tiebreaker for.
What did he get? I don't even know what we got.
I got 11. We both got 11. Oh, sorry. I thought you saw that. We both got 11.
I got 7 is what you're saying.
Did I get 7? You and Matt both got 7.
Okay.
I thought I got that.
Okay. Ready?
In the Brady Bunch thing, I have it, Matt.
Here is the roll for who's going to go first between me and Nick.
Okay. Who's applied to?
I didn't say that. I probably should have. Shouldn't I? Sure. This role will be for Nick.
Oh, okay. I can't even see it. Okay, I'll take it. 8.
And my role will be
an 8.
Come on, you son of a
bitch. God, this abs. Can we just get 2 dice next time?
3.
Three. So, okay, so what
I'm,
about
I'm going, I'm, Nick's going
wait,
first.
Wait.
I'm going second.
Oh, okay.
I'm determining the order, Jack. So Nick's going first. I'm going second. Now to decide who's going third, it'll be a.
He's lost you there. I didn't hear a word he said.
Wait, whose is this for?
Yeah.
Can you not hear me?
You cut out on the crew.
Oh, sorry. I will repeat like what I just said. So okay. We set a roll off to see who's going to go first, myself or Nick. Nick won. I'm going second. Okay. The next roll off is between Matt and Jack to see who's going to go third.
So if
this is going to be a roll for Matt.
Okay.
That's a
9.
Jack, you get
Dick.
11.
11.
That's what happens when you celebrate prematurely, man. Okay. All right. So,
I hear order, Matt does that a lot. So, that's what the word on the street is.
The order is going to be Nick, me, at least Jack, and then Matt.
Anybody got any bull semen around here? I heard it exploded everywhere.
All right. So, let's do this. So, we are each going to get how many minutes?
Oh, wait, before I forget, I wanted to bring up a story. You see about the lady that bit the camel's testicles?
I heard about that. You know, it reminded me of that, you know, if a dog bites a man, it's not news. But if a man bites a dog, it's news.
I guess she was chasing her dog, got loose at some kind of petting zoo. She went on and she says the camel sat on her. And to get the camel away from her, she bit its testicles. So she got a ticket.
Wow.
I meant to bring that up. I had it written down. I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure I got it out.
That's okay.
I mean, I think that'd be kind of gross, but that's just me.
What did the camel say?
You want to hump later on? Something like that.
All right.
That's the best I can come up with such short notice.
Okay. So we're going to get, 90 seconds?
Well, you get to – and then you give it and then – at the end, we get to shit on everybody's picks.
Yeah, that's right. So we each get 90 seconds to talk about why we chose what we chose. Yes.
Okay. 90 seconds. Wow. Okay.
Do you have an app that keeps 90 a stopwatch?
Yes.
It's
almost yes.
Yeah, I think we're all on do. All of our phones. Yes.
Okay. I'm going to set the timer for
90 seconds.
Hope it works better.
1 minute
than iced.
And 30 seconds. And Nick, you have the floor as of right now.
All right. Well, it's hard to pick just one because I like different comedians, as we all do, for their different styles and what they do. Because I would love to pick Ron White because I love the way he tells stories and, you know, and that's what he is. He's just a natural storyteller. And it's hilarious because you can picture yourself in that moment. But I'm going to go with the someone who actually is a legendary comedian. I just look, no, I'm going to give you what I think Chris is going to pick. But I'm going to go with someone who was brilliant and they reflected the times they were in. They constantly challenged the status quo of comedians, political correctness, and freedom of speech, which is the legendary George Carlin.
Fuck, I knew you were you asshole.
Fuck.
Keep going.
Fuck.
Because George, like I said, George Carlin had a way. George Carlin had a way. Just, you guys should see their faces.
Fuck.
Because George Carlin just had a way, starting with the 7 words you cannot say on television.
Shit, piss, fuck, motherfucker, cocksucker.
Yeah, all the way to his, you know, sadly, death, and just the way that he challenged the clergy, the way he challenged everything he did, and he related it in a very simple way to where you understood and laughed your ass off about it. He had a very subtle and just a great way of delivery, and I loved him for it. I think everybody loved George Carlin, you know. And I still, when I watch Cars, get sad. Oh, okay. I get sad because when I watch Cars, he's dead. Because he was Fillmore. Come on. Okay. Okay, Chris.
Chris is saying you're number 2.
My pick, Nick.
Apparently, I took 2 of you. I took Yusik. You and Matt's pick.
Well, I do have a comedian. Oh, let me set the timer for myself, actually.
Hang on. Yes, please do. Fair.
Okay. We'll set it a little 10 you already started 10 seconds. So.
My timer starts now. Okay, so my comedian, I will admittedly say, is not someone who I passionately followed or listened to during his prime time or his heyday on his comedy specials as well as TV shows that he produced and wrote for. But I will say that over the past few years, I've listened to and watched a lot of what he said, and he recently actually came out with a Netflix stand-up special. And I have to say that one of the reasons why I love this comedian so much is because he's so smart, and you don't realize it until the end. And his delivery and the way he tells his jokes and tells his stories really sucks you in from a dramatic, fanatical theme, the way he delivers them. But his punchline, it makes you think. Right. And it makes you actually kind of stop and think, and which is actually the title of the follow up show after his most recent specials called The Punchline. And that man is Dave Chappelle. If you guys haven't seen Sticks and Stones yet, you need to, because it's fucking phenomenal. That's not my timer. I got 15 seconds. Like, he is a brilliant writer, and the way he delivers his comedy is second to none, maybe to George Carlin. But he's awesome, and Dave Chappelle is going to be my pick, and that's my final word. All right, Matt.
No, I thought it was Jack.
It is Jack. Jack, yeah.
Oh, Jack, right? Yeah, you celebrate too early. Jack, your timer starts now.
It's hard to argue with the first two picks, both fantastic comedians. I thought about going with Richard Pryor, Bill Cosby, but of course can't go with Bill Cosby because of those stupid sweaters he wore. Just different thing, you know. Eddie Murphy was a fantastic. I mean, I love Eddie Murphy. There's so many comedians I love. Jerry Seinfeld. You go on and on and on. Don Rickles, Joan Rivers, Roseanne before she got kind of crazy.
Jay Leno.
But I'm going to go with Jay Leno. Sure, whatever. Actually, Jay Leno wasn't too bad before he took on The Tonight Show. But I'm gonna go with the guy who made me laugh during my teen years when I think a lot of teenagers, we needed, you know, it was kind of depressing during our teen years. Well, it was for me. But I'm going to go with the guy that made me laugh because I'd play his record over and over again when I was feeling down. I thought about Lenny Bruce, too. But no, I'm going to go with Steve Martin. The guy was just amazing. I'm sure I probably won't win because a lot of people are like, who is Steve Martin? but he was just amazing. Still quote him today. His Let's Get Small album got me through some rough times, and I'm going to go with Steve. He's my favorite of all time. The King Tut song, it just an amazing, amazing, talented guy. And he made you laugh without saying, he didn't even really have what he was even talking about. It was like, you know, excuse me, or the whole, you know, the arrow in the head thing was just hilarious. And Steve, thank you for what you did for me and millions of other people.
Got a home made of stoner.
Yeah. It's a condo made of stoner, but that's okay.
Stoner,
Matt,
sorry, yeah.
Your timer starts in 3, 2,
oh, 1. Oh, shit. What, now? Ah, crap. So
you knew you were next.
Yeah, I knew I was next. And there's a lot, so many to choose from. And I'm already running out of time. So I'm just going to go with what my heart said, which I was leaning towards him. He was in definitely in my top five, is Richard Pryor. So it's somebody that I loved. I realized that, you know, I didn't really watch his stand-up as a kid, but I watched a lot of his movies as a kid.
Superman 3?
that I did not get sent to bed for, ironically.
No, you're being punished.
I was being punished. I was like, why are you forcing me to watch this? Superman Went Dark. And I realized that Richard Pryor has had a very dicey history, but I love it. Once said, I'm not addicted to cocaine. I just like the way it smells. And he's just a really enigmatic personality. You wouldn't have Eddie Murphy or Dave Chappelle if it wasn't for Richard Pryor.
True.
I still have time.
All right. So Matt's suggestion was so good. He still had 30 seconds to spare, but he's going to go ahead and forfeit that time. Now let's go to the next round.
I didn't have a timer going here.
No one picked Robin Williams.
I had the timer for you. Just like everybody else.
Robin Williams.
There's so many good ones. They're hard to get.
Yeah, I can't. We're going to take a lot of heat for the Facebook posts of saying, you fucking idiots. You didn't think of Sherwood.
Right. Well, okay.
Well, to be fair, these are four great comedians.
And we just thought of this on air, too.
And yeah. They are four comedians of varying different times, right? Of like,
yeah.
I had, yeah. Oh, crap, I forgot about Robin Williams. He was on my list too.
I thought about Robin Williams. I had Richard Pryor. I have all three of these, all three of your picks. So how can I shit on your picks when they're on my list? So it's going to be tough.
All right. So let's do the shitting. Matt, the first territory.
I'm going to shit on your guys' picks. Okay. So first of all,
Matt, you are going to have 30 seconds.
No, I had another 30 seconds from the previous one.
No, it does not roll over.
Carry over. Sorry.
We are going to do, actually, we're going to do 1 minute. We're going to do 1 minute.
It expired.
On everyone's pick. Ready? Matt, your timer starts now.
Okay. So sure. You can pick these other people. They're other men that have clearly dominated comedian race. You know, but why? Why would you pick these other funny guys when you could pick Richard Pryor? He was a trailblazer. He blazed trails, including...
He ran blazed.
10-second deduction.
including with his hair.
Matt's doing stand-up right now.
You have a 10-second deduction.
No, I have 20 seconds left now. So anyway, don't pick the other white guys. Pick Richard Pryor.
Apparently Dave Chappelle is
Dave
white.
Chappelle is definitely white.
I just said the other guys.
What you're saying is
I wasn't actually.
It's okay to choose.
I was not shitting on Chris's. Just
his pun was intended. It.
Okay. Pick the guy that's on fire.
Literally.
Oh, I'm on fire.
Jack.
Okay.
It starts right now.
Yeah, I got to be. Usually I can come up with something to bash your guys' picks, but literally, if these guys are on, if I go on YouTube and put them on right now, I would laugh. I know people are like, where's Robin Williams? Where's, you know, Jerry Seinfeld? Where's all the other fucking comedians? Yeah, there's billions of comedians you could have picked, but I think we picked comedians. My pick was more personal for me. I think it's just something that he meant a lot to me. And someone, he's on my wish list of people I'd like to meet. I wanted to meet Johnny Carson, and he didn't wait long enough. He died. So, and I would like to met Richard Pryor also, and George Carlin. Dave Chappelle's still alive, but they're all four of the comedians are geniuses. I mean, it's hard to shit on everyone's picks, but you know, I haven't won in a while, so why don't you give it to me? I could use a win. It's been a rough couple of years. My football team got taken away from me from fucking Spanos. You know, it's been tough. You know, I don't have any hair, so vote for me just on sympathy.
Wow, right on cue there, Jack.
Wow,
okay. I was watching the clock.
I got a minute starting now. All right, so George Carlin.
I'm gonna move on
to Jack really quick. Okay, so Jack, first of all, your pick was great, but I'm gonna go ahead and attack you for your reasoning. You excluded a few different people, one of them being Bill Cosby, and you said you couldn't like Bill Cosby because of his sweaters.
Exactly. I think that's why he's in jail, isn't it?
There's a number issue above that.
Yeah, there's a few things more important that you should care about.
I only heard about the sweaters. Sorry.
So, Jack, your line of reasoning is terrible. Matt, you didn't even know that it was your turn. Like, and you couldn't complete the timer to tell all the good things about your pick in the amount of time you had allotted.
Was there something more than the sweaters with Bill? That's what he's in jail for,
Nick,
right?
It's all about the pudding.
It's the Jell-O and the pudding.
Yeah. Nick, your timer starts now.
Once again, it is hard to shit on these comedians, and a couple of you guys did a pretty good job of dodging it. I would like to point out that two of the three hosts had George Carlin as their number one pick, so that kind of... Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
But this shows that one of the hosts has taste.
Yeah. The other host, on the other hand, you know, when's the last time he put out a comedy album? When's the last time he did comedy? I think a lot of our listeners might not be familiar with good old Steve. I know that the rest of us.
I bet you're talking about George Carlin and Richard Pryor. They're both dead. It's been a while since they did anything.
Damn.
Wow.
Everyone listening, you hear that? You hear the insensitive on that?
Whoa.
Oh, George Carlin.
Oh, Jesus Christ. He's into music now.
I like what Matt put. I won't read it, but I like what Matt wrote.
I was trying to distract Nick while he was talking.
No, he did his own good job. Jack did that for him, I guess.
Pretty much.
It's true.
All right. I know people are just going to immediately just like be like, meh, 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 you know, and to all of the haters, we all unanimously say, fuck you, okay?
Unless you're a patron.
Fuck them too. Like, whatever. I'm not gonna put on a face for people. I'm not gonna do that.
Dance for your dollar.
I'm not gonna.
Eddie Murphy had a great joke about Bill Cosby, and we'll say the people that shit on us, we'll kind of lump them in this part of the joke. It was okay. He said he was doing some stand up, and he goes and he was a big Bill Cosby fan. This was again before the sweaters, and he said. Bill Cosby called him and said, you know, you're funny, you're this, but you don't have to be using that language. You can be funny without the language. So he goes, you know, I've listened to him. I was like, is he right? He's not right. He's like a mentor to me. You know, I looked up to him. So he called Richard Pryor. And he goes, yeah, Bill goes, do you like what you do? Yeah, are you making money with what you do? He said, tell Bill to shut the fuck up and go have a Coke and a smile.
No. same kind of same story.
So I don't want to put that to the people that are going to bitch on our picks, but just think about that when you're complaining about our picks.
I'm not sure what movie it was, but John Wayne was making a Western, you know, as he did in the 60s or early 70s. And the scene called for John Wayne to shoot a guy in the back. And he got pissed and was like, you know, I can't do a John Wayne accent, but, you know, I ain't shooting a guy in the back. You know, like,
why not start right now?
Yeah. And they said, well, the Mr. Eastwood is just shot a film where he shoots a guy like that. And he goes, he's like, I ain't dealing with that other, you know, same thing. They're like, you know, like, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, shit, what was I going to say? But yeah, like, I mean, same thing with like the non-swearing thing. Like, I always loved Sinbad back in the 90s and early 2000s.
Oh, yeah. He never swore, ever.
Yeah. But he was a funny guy.
Seinfeld never swore. I mean, Seinfeld didn't swear.
Yeah, no, Seinfeld. Or Don Rickles, you know.
Don Rickles, no. Well, Don Rickles said other things that today we would get him banned, but it was Don. So, I mean, I love Don.
There are so many. I mean, I'm looking at some of the other.
I love Lewis Black a lot. You know, he doesn't get a lot of credit.
Bob Newhart, very clean, you know, comedian. Really great, really funny bits.
Love Bob Newhart.
Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah,
I thought one of you would go, even talking about the last three weeks.
I know.
Well, he's only got three CDs, and
I love Mitch Hedberg, as you guys know. I've said in the show before, right? But like, when he is the king of the one-liner, right? Like, he's a different style of comedian. Like, he is if for a one-liner comedian, there's nobody better in my opinion. But for a full-on, you know, stage performance, you know, comedic act. I think that Dave Chappelle and maybe another pick are the best.
I mean, if you're a fan of Saturday Night Live, I think you got to go with Steve Martin.
It's just like, you know, like
guest on Saturday Night Live. Just saying,
you know, for all the people out there who like Mentos, you know, like Mitch Hedberg just had some of the great one-liners. Just like, you know, like sometimes I like to look at my oscillating fan and asking questions. Do you keep my papers? Nice and organized. Like, do you know, like, all that? Ah, liar!
You guys are talking about no one had the courage to pick him.
He's great. But I think
anyone talking about Mitch guy should be disqualified because you shouldn't vote for him because they're not picking him. They didn't have the guts.
You asked for a vote because you're fucking bald.
That's true. That is true.
You literally used the fact that you're bald as a reason for someone to pick you.
Yeah. So
yeah,
I had the courage to ask for a pity vote.
There's so many, and when you Google best comedians of all time, and you see all of the comedians that come up when you Google.
How did no one pick Robin Williams?
You'll see that the first one is Richard Pryor, but among the other ones behind him, though, you'll see, you know. Even, you know, we mentioned Joan Rivers, Rodney Dangerfield. You know,
I love Rodney Dangerfield. Yeah, he was on my list. I didn't think anyone would pick Steve Martin, though.
We didn't mention Amy Schumer, although she's not my style of humor, so that's why I didn't pick her. So, and same with Sarah Silverman. I found some of her stuff to be really hilarious, but she's not really my, you know, I don't. Of female comedians, I probably more identify. She's not a stand-up per se, but is Tina Fey. I love that book.
True.
Read her biography, and I've always enjoyed things that she's been in. But, you know, there's just so many, so this is really hard to pick into four. But this is our four. You know, choose what you will, and we'll talk about it next week, though. So, and one of us is going to be the loser.
Why don't we, the people that bitch about it, why don't we call them out in the next podcast?
Yes.
Why don't we call them out by name?
If people are that mean about it,
I'll
roast them on the show.
Now, wait a minute, you can express your opinion. Like I said, if you're a jerk about it, we're going to call you out. We don't care anymore. We all reached the age. I don't think we care anymore.
I love it. I love it. I love the fact that we can actually yell at our people who listen.
Well, we have so many. We lose a few.
We have so many. Oh, and
you love everybody. No. You know what? Fuck you.
Go have a coconut smile.
Have a coconut smile. And yet we didn't get any emails this week. I don't
think.
We don't fuck you guys too. How hard is it to send us a fucking email? Really? I mean,
literally the last one we got was from Sarah Watts, who says, Hope you are doing well. I am a digital media expert representing a very successful South Carolina-based website design and SEO pro company. I found your fuck you, Sarah Watts. Okay, we need better emails than this.
This is my second choice for a comedian, though. She was second on my list.
Sarah Watts. Yeah.
Yeah, she was.
She was. So anyway, give us an email, rcadcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
You can get a cool drawing.
Oh, hey, you got your drawing up there. Nice.
Yeah, I have it right here next to my fucking charger.
Right, and Dave, who so graciously sent two of us, the best two on the RCAD.
Knew that was coming.
A map. I did finally get your drawing in the mail, so that is on its way.
I did send Dave a map on how he could go find the place, go fuck himself.
I always joke with my kids because they always.
I'm kidding, Dave. I love Dave. I'm just joking.
They always interrupt my wife and I talking, much like you know, somebody on this podcast interrupts us talking. But my kids always interrupt my wife and I, and they're always like, "Wait, what did you say? What did you say? What? Who's that? What's that?" And I'm always like, "Oh, you mean none of ya? None of your business?" So none of your business comes up quite a bit in our family because
take the fucking wax out of here. That's what I'd
say. We weren't talking to you, kid. Yeah. Shut the fuck up. I was really messing with him the other day, and I started singing a song called "None of Your Business," and I just made it up on the spot. And my son says to me, "That's not a real song." I said, "Yeah, it's by the Mamas and the Papas." That's not a real group, and I'm like, "Yeah, it is." I pull it up on iTunes and I'm like, "See, look, the Mamas and the Papas." And by the way,
everyone's getting fat, but Mama Cass.
Salt and Peppa actually do a song called "None of Your Business." So there you go. It is an actual song, but that's not the
if
song.
I want to take a guy home with me tonight, it's none of your business. If she wants to be a freaking selling on the weekend, none of your business.
So we finally found a subject Chris was willing to jump in and talk about.
That is the thing I don't actually
think. I think Chris should have to do the intro song next week.
I think you should. All right. So let's wrap this up if we're going to have an extension.
Sure.
So we can meet all of the patrons on the flip side.
It'd be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice if you like supporting us and all of the things that we do. You can shop us on Amazon.com/JayandJack, I believe is the affiliate. Thank you to Sherry. Big shout out to her, who posted actually a list of products mainly that Chris has.
Yeah, Chris. I know. I was a little bit biased.
I love it. I mean,
I've recommended cheese balls and a blood orange juice and some things.
Well, Chris has something to clean those cheese balls now.
Yes, I do.
It's true. He does.
I do randomly, you know, promote things, Jerry, but you know, whatever. Hey. Well, you know, you've only actually officially met two of the RCAD, but whatever, Sherry. Thanks.
You know, the best. I'm gonna say Sherry's one of my favorites.
Me too.
But you know what?
She's better than Dave.
Yeah, we do love all of our listeners, as well as those that give us reviews or send us emails. And the patrons, by the way, from the lowest to the highest, we do appreciate everything that you do. Jack, you've got a list.
You can shop Amazon too.
Wait, I already mentioned that.
When did you mention Amazon?
What, right before I talked about Sherry, I gave this glowing review of Sherry. Yeah, I did.
I don't think you mentioned the word Amazon.
I did. I back you up.
Well, usually when Matt's talking, I'm sleeping. I got to catch up on my sleep. So
all right. Maybe it's because you burned off all your hair, like Richard Pryor.
I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember the joke. You used to go to Match and go, "Who am I?" You'd like the matching. "Who am I?" It's Richard Pryor running down the street.
I think Pryor made that joke.
He probably did, but we used to always do it.
Yeah.
And we used to have fun with Richard. Richard, great comedian, second best on the list. Let's see. At this time, we thank all our patrons. But go to jayandjack.com, click on to become a patron. You get so much stuff. It's a new podcast coming out, Chris's recommendations of products.
I like it.
You guys didn't know about it. It's going to come out. where Matt and Nick and I, we just ignore the whole 45 minutes. We just sit there and just type on the internet while he's talking about his products. Not that that happens on this show.
No.
But if it were to happen.
Maybe. Go from there.
But we thank Tack from Paris, Eckhart Rickner-Glaffler, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with a Plan, Ed the Creepy Letter Carrier, who just became a grandpa. I don't know if it's the second time, but he just became a grandfather.
Congratulations. And
Drake the Destroyer.
Congratulations.
And remember, we got other podcasts on the network. We got the broadcast, which you could of the five we have right now, you can make that one your last choice. I don't know.
Jeez.
I'm kidding. We got the broadcast. We got Dancing with the Stars. We have Survivor. Owen and Brew's Barbecue. Okay, let me take that back. Make Owen Brew's your last choice.
Okay.
And move the broadcast up a notch because they're a little better than Owen and Brew's.
You know what? Fuck Lost and any rewatch shows.
And isn't there another we're going to be doing a Watchmen podcast pretty soon. So we got a lot of podcasts on here to choose from. So subscribe, listen, all that fun stuff. And give us a review.
Yeah.
Matt, have you drawn anything in the last few months?
We're supposed to give.
Yeah,
one to Amanda,
I did something on our live show, but I'm still looking for Amanda to hug and kiss. Anyway,
I can see it in your eyes, making your eyes, Amanda.
All right, hey, you know what? This was a great show, kids. It was one in a Richard Pryor. I'll see you next week.
Well, excuse me.
He's got terrible sweaters.
Fuck.